Alrighty. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You are listening to episode 62 of The Journey to Wherever, and my name is Daniel.
And I'm Yvonne.
It's your kind of weather today, man, isn't it?
Mate, it's disgusting. I'm going to vomit in a bag and throw it on myself.
What's worth, 40 degree day heat or vomit on yourself?
40 degree day. It's terrible. What's going on?
Well, by the time people listen to this one, you know, wherever you are in the world, coming essentially from the start of the week, here in Sydney on this beautiful whichever way you look at it, Saturday. It's a scorcher today, my friend.
Mate, I think it hit 42, 41.
It's not even December yet.
Not quite. It's out of control. 41. I know what that is for friggin' Fahrenheit temperature for everybody who...
40 degrees Celsius. It's fucking hot. Put it that way. Sorry.
Yeah, but look, you know, we'll survive. At least I will try. Sorry, I just put my mouth off the mic. I didn't say cue the intro. Cue the intro.
My name's Ivan. And I'm a scientist by day and a writer by night.
And I'm Daniel. I'm a neuromuscular therapist and I run my own practice.
And you're listening to the weekly podcast, Journey to Wherever.
Enjoy the show.
Right, man, we're back.
Man,
this beverage is good, man.
Thank you.
This soda stream stuff.
I made it myself.
It's pretty good.
You like that?
Yeah, I do.
I've always wanted an excuse to buy a soda stream. It's like, it was one of those purchases where I'm like, because it's like, I don't know. 100-something bucks for it,
but it's people listening. We're sipping on a because as you said, it's a pretty hot day. We're sipping on the energy drink version of the Soda Stream.
Yeah, it's called X Energy.
Pretty good. It's like it doesn't taste like your typical Red Bull or a V.
It doesn't have
it's
that
like this
like,
hybrid of their own.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. It's refreshing.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I do actually. Yeah. I actually quite like it.
I don't use it a lot, but I'm like every now
and then.
I like
it more than the flavor of Red Bull.
Oh,
I think we just lost our sponsorship.
Big call there. So you're more a V guy, yeah?
I like V.
That's why probably you like this one more.
I'm known to drink Mother as well every now and then.
Yeah,
just because you can get like double the amount for half the price, and sometimes you need
you're
that.
A quantity guy when it comes to energy drinks.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
I'm a quantity guy. That's funny.
Yeah, no, it's I was looking for an excuse for a couple months back. I won a I came first in a tipping comp. For the rugby league with like our soccer team.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know, the prize money was like, I don't know, $200 or something. And I thought,
that's pretty good.
I was like, oh, okay. So I'm like, I'm going to deck myself out with like SodaStream stuff. So I'm going to win SodaStream. I've got like two of the gas cylinder things. Yeah. I've got a couple of flavors. And yeah, so it's all right. It's good. But you know, it's weird because Schweppes, who owns the rights to Pepsi and like a lot of that stuff, like, they release those Pepsi flavors.
So you can get those flavors too.
Okay, so I'm looking at this thing and I'm thinking, like, it's going to taste like knockoff cola version, like LA Ice type stuff, which I've got nothing against. But it's like, I was looking at it thinking, nah, look, I'll buy it. I'll give it a go. It was like $6 for like, you know, essentially Pepsi cordial.
Yeah.
Pretty much, right? And it's got it's got like pretty clear instructions if you want it to taste a certain way.
Yeah.
You do it like this. But if you wanted to taste the Pepsi way,
yeah,
put this certain amount in.
Yeah.
And when you... Because it's got the bubble. Like, when you put the thing in and you put it in, twist it, it tells you, recommends, like, if you want light fizz, it's like one press. And one press is 2 second hold. If you want, like, an extremely, you know, heavy fizz, it's like five presses. And obviously, somewhere in the middle. But it tells you, like, X amount of presses plus this amount of this plus this amount of that. Before you know it, I put it in, make it, and I'm like... Fuck, this is Pepsi.
It tastes exactly the same.
God,
they did it right.
So I'm like, oh shit. So it was okay. It's good. So they come in handy when you want to have, like, I really like I like making especially on a night like tonight.
Yeah.
Especially once the kids have gone to bed. I like to make just a plain, like lightly sparkling slice of lime with a few cubes of ice.
Lime in your Pepsi?
No Pepsi tonight. Oh. Just plain, like light. Blah, blah, blah,
oh,
sorry.
Just a plain water.
Sparkling mineral water, yeah.
Ah.
So I'll do that. But like heavy fizz.
Yeah.
If I want heavy fizz. But tonight I'm thinking just one or two pushes.
I think there's a whole science behind how you fizz beverages, about the different gases maybe you can use.
I'll show you when we go downstairs later.
Look at it.
It's got like, it's weird. It's got that nozzle thing and you press the button and it just shoots out.
Yeah, I've
like,
seen how
the
they
stuff,
do it. So. I've seen people do it before because if you try different beverages, like between different brands, you'll get like really big, harsh bubbles.
Fizz. Yeah.
But then you'll get really fine, lots of like softer but fizzier bubbles.
Yeah. I think it would require different
textures of bubbles in beverages.
Well, it's not only just that. Like, it's from using the Soda Stream as an example, it tells you like how long
to press it.
So they obviously got, you know, crazy machines in factories on how long things are, you know, gas, whatever is extracted in order to create a beverage. This is definitely not my side, my field, Mr. Science Man. You'll probably be able to explain it better than me, but yeah, I'm sure there's ways for them to do it, but yeah.
There you go. Oh, well.
There you go. A bit of 5 minutes worth of Soda Stream talk. How's your week been?
Isn't it funny how time passes by? 5 minutes on Soda Stream.
You would think we're sponsored by them, but we're not.
My week's been all right. It's been a good week. Was looking forward to the weekend. Last weekend wrote me off because of the whole landscaping work. I was quite spent after that, so it was a nice way to just this weekend to not really have that much planned, which I think is important. But mostly staying indoors just because I don't want to get my ass hair singed when I walk out the front door. And that's it, really. Went and did some shopping this afternoon. Hit up Costco. That place is unreal.
Yeah.
And that was it, man.
Cool.
Now we're here recording the podcast and kicking it away for yet another episode. I think I mentioned on the last episode, for those who want to go and certainly check us out if that's your preferred platform, but we're now on Deezer and Stitcher.
Mm-hmm.
We've also submitted to Amazon and Audible, so just waiting for that to come back. Hopefully it can. If it doesn't, I'll be slightly disappointed, but we'll press on.
We will pursue
World domination, and then eventually we'll just kind of kick off in other different platforms. So in the early part of this episode, go and check us out on our socials.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think of the show. Connect with us. Say hi. Send us a message. DM. Comment on something you like.
Yeah.
Tell us how good we are or how shitty we really are. We need to get off the airwaves.
Yeah.
Either one. We'll still be here tomorrow.
If we are clogging your ears with crap.
We'll still be here.
We'll still do it regardless.
Trying to mark out our little place of paradise. No, but that's what I thought. I'd just kind of kick it off at the start.
Yeah,
get it out of the way.
Kind of like I think we did it in the last episode where just refer us to a friend.
Yeah,
just one. If everyone refers one friend,
yeah,
we essentially double our audience.
Yeah,
that's the way I look at it. And then if that person does the same thing, before you know it, world domination.
Please, just do it.
Ivan will have his own cape and we'll...
I feel insignificant without it, without people liking my show.
I think we should wear capes before the show starts.
Really?
What do you reckon? What colour will your cape be?
It's red.
Isn't that kind of like Superman knockoff-ish though? You have to come up with your own.
Red. No, look. It's Superman or nothing. There's no fakes around here. But now, look, on a serious note, it's not because we don't feel significant. It's more just because we want to connect with everyone.
Yeah.
But as you said, man, episode 62.
Yep. Sweet.
After the last week's episode of these movies and action stuff we talked about, I think I was telling you guys last night, I went and watched a Schwarzenegger movie called Red Heat, where Schwarzenegger plays a Russian detective police officer.
Yeah.
And he ends up traveling across to the US in Chicago and has to kind of like expedite another.
Yeah. Can you tell the story of what you told me yesterday?
I think this movie was filmed in 86.
It's typical 80s. Like,
it was unreal. It was so good. I think it was filmed in 86.
Yeah.
And then they might have set it in 88 because there was a picture of someone's like grave when they were having like a ceremony. And I think on the side of the box, it said like 88. But essentially, the opening scene is like, it's like icy cold outside, like mad Russian weather. What do they get? Like minus 40 over there?
Mm-hmm.
Something heavenly, right? So there was like real snowy cold. But they're basically in this, it was some hybrid of a gym and a steam bathroom / sauna.
Okay.
But the opening scene opens up and they got all these guys lifting weights.
Yeah.
They got like virtually no clothes on except like a cloth around the front of them.
Mm-hmm.
You've got like naked girls inside this hot tub bath steam thing.
Yeah.
And then all these guys are like pumping iron. And then...
That's great.
Pumping iron. Like, it looked like the back of a Mr. Olympia competition. Yeah, but they were in a 1980s concrete.
It's like a bathhouse.
It looked like a barbarian Vikings bathhouse.
Okay, yeah.
So there's all these naked, half-naked men and women around.
Jacked.
Just jacked. There were so many steroids. It was like Dynaball in the water. And then all of a sudden in slow-mo, like you see Arnie kind of walking out of his steam room. He's got this like 30 by 30 centimeter cloth covering up the front of him.
Yeah. Is that it? No.
What?
No, I'm joking.
What did you say?
I said, is that it?
Oh, mate. It was ridiculous. It was even like bulging at the front. Anyway, and then he walks up to this guy and this guy gets a
get me more socks in my underwear.
This guy gets a hot volcanic rock.
Yeah.
Puts it in Arnie's hand. And he's holding this rock and then he squeezes his hands together in his hot volcanic rock.
Yeah.
It's like burning.
No third degree burns.
And then he just slams the rock into this guy's face. Somehow the guy gets thrown out of a glass window. They land, both of them land out of the window on the snow.
Yeah.
And they start having a punch up half naked with cloth in front of their penises.
That's it.
Having a fight in the snow.
That's 80s. That's 80s.
That's literally the opening scene of the movie.
Oh man. And it's pure though.
Oh man.
It's all about the storyline. It's got nothing to do with whether it would happen in real life or not. It's just like, you know what? I want a whole bunch of half naked Russian men jacked to the hills and I want a fight scene outside in half naked in the snow. Action.
I think looking back, I think he might have been like undercover or something.
Yeah.
And then he's gone in there and just like busted the person he wanted to get. And then that was it. Then I don't know what happened after that. And then he's in his like mad like police uniform thing. It was an all right movie. It was all right. It was typical 80s.
Did Arnie pull off the Russian accent? Well, because...
Dude, he was speaking Russian and had a Russian accent in the movie.
Because he's got a very distinctive...
You could tell he was putting it on.
More so back in the day, he had a very distinctive kind of Austrian, like Austrian-German type.
He sounded like an Austrian putting on a Russian accent.
Okay.
It did. He didn't sound Russian.
So Arnie's facade wasn't that great.
No.
But it's Arnie and he can get away with it.
But it was good. So, I mean, I watched the whole
80s. No one gives a shit anyway. Just get to the fight scenes, damn it.
It was just a good 80s movie. And he managed to like smuggle like this freaking... It wasn't even like... I don't even know what pistol it was. It was this huge gun, like Arnie style.
Yeah.
And he literally just reaches into his jacket pocket and pulls out this massive piece. And he's like, how'd you even get that into the country? And you're like, I don't know how he said he didn't. He was like... This is just typical.
Doesn't matter.
You just got it through customs.
Yeah.
So yeah, I watched that off the back of last week's episode. I think I got addicted to wanting to.
I'm sure there's some buried D grade, C grade, 80s movies that we haven't explored 100%. Yet that we would probably like.
Well, Universal Soldier came out in 2012.
Yeah, you showed me that last night, and I was like 2012. Where was I? What exactly. was I doing?
So I'm gonna have to watch that now too.
Yeah. All right.
That was about it, man.
Cool, man. Awesome. So.
Hit me up, man. What's going on?
What's going on?
What's
plaguing my mind? It's funny. We're speaking of Arnie and trying to pull off a Russian accent with his distinct Austrian heritage, but a Russian dialect accent.
Yeah.
In English from a guy that's Austrian.
Yes.
So pretty...
It was authentically inauthentic.
Authentically, you know, that's, you know what, that's, you put that together perfect. So sometimes facades you can see straight through.
Yeah.
And there are some that are so amazing that one, not only you can't see through, but it takes you on a deep, 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 deep ride. And then you might be on this ride for a very long time until you discover where you're going. Essentially, yeah. What I'm trying to say is in a roundabout way is kind of like the. It's not necessarily a versus, but it's like I've been thinking a lot lately about. We always talk about being authentic as possible.
Yeah.
But then it's like it's the balance. Maybe it's what I'm trying to say. What's the true balance between creating a facade?
Yeah.
And being as authentic as you can. For yourself, and most people will probably be listening to this, and they'll probably be saying, "Well, you would want to be as authentic as you possibly could, because if you're putting on a facade, you are lying, or you're kind of like you're faking it, so to speak." And yes, I would agree. The problem with that is, in majority of industries, relationships at the start, whatever it might be, naturally, I think we are naturally inclined for our own protection for ourselves. Our family, our jobs, our personalities, we are naturally inclined to create
a facade.
A facade.
Yeah.
Some really thick, some really, really thin. But I think we are naturally, even sometimes when you're on, people say, oh, man, I'm either black or white. To me, that's a facade too. Do you know what I mean? Because some people will say I'm black or white, but I kind of think, yeah, I think majority of people are just gray. And I think they live by the fact that they like to authenticate themselves as a black and white person, a black or white person.
When
in terms of like, I tell it how it is type person.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know if that's a common term that people say across the world, because we're thinking like, what are you guys talking about? Black and white is like when you say things straight down the line.
I'm either black or white.
It's very distinct. It's like one side of the argument.
One side of the argument or not, you know? And then I think, someone says that straight away, oh, I'm either black or white. I'm like, nah. Straight away, I think, yeah, you're kind of full of shit. Because in general, most people, I think, as a protection mechanism, they would create some form of a facade. The interesting part is how it's once they've created it and they've established their facade, they naturally want to reveal themselves. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes they don't, because they've put themselves in a situation where it's either created a good outcome for them, or, you know, sometimes people lay a lie that they can't kind of get out of, but it's kind of rolling, and all of a sudden they're trying to kind of balance the, you know, their real authentic self. Sometimes you're in a relationship with someone and you are true to yourself, but there's like a little bit of something that you're holding yourself back from them for whatever reason. Or sometimes it could be a job, you know, not that you've lied on your resume, but you might have tweaked a few things to you know, get across the line.
Embellish,
you know what I mean? Because you know that you can do this role, but you've kind of created the facade in order to get in to then prosper and show your true skills. But if you didn't say it at the start that you possessed an XYZ skill, you probably wouldn't have been given the opportunity to showcase it.
Yeah.
So, but ultimately, like I said, we start off with, I think most people, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, start off with creating this initial facade, but we all strive to be as authentic as we possibly can. Where is the balance?
I think I would probably put a caveat on some of the things, because I agree, and then there's other things where I think I've seen cases where it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
So I think everyone should probably try and go for being as authentic as they can, but I don't think everybody wants to, nor do they intend on ever being as authentic as they can. Some people will always have that facade, and they're very different at work to who they are at home.
That's right.
And they intentionally keep that.
Yeah. It's kind of like that very, it's a classic superhero thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm Bruce Wayne at home.
Yeah.
Or I'm Batman on the streets. They're two different people, technically.
Yeah.
Clark Kent, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
There's a reason for it, because they're trying to protect themselves. There's an analogy. I don't know whether it's a good one.
I know what you mean, yeah. And the other thing I would say is there are times where I've met people that don't put up a facade.
Yep.
Or don't maybe ease up on who they really are. Because who they really are is like brutal, straight to the point.
So quite, they soften themselves.
They don't soften it at all.
They don't soften it at all.
No, they don't. I've met people where you go and sit down. It's like the first meeting, for example, right? Okay. You've gone to meet with someone. You go to have a meeting, a conversation. You're in the boardroom. You're having a discussion. They sit down and they just like straight to the bone. They just unload. Raw. They talk about exactly how it is. They're real. I know you say it's like, people don't say black and white, but they're more direct.
I feel like people that claim to be black and white,
They don't even claim it. They just openly come out and be like straight down the line.
Straight to the point, yeah.
Quite firm. And the first thing that comes to mind is like, I mean, the perfect example, right? A few years ago, I was having a meeting and I needed to connect with a person who was like a public relations role. They were like the communications kind of person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they sat down. They wanted to kind of like talk about communication and how they were going to like have them. They were on some project. I can't remember what it was. They were assisting in some project, but their day-to-day work was like a communications kind of person.
Yeah.
And as soon as they sat down and started talking, they were cold. They had no emotional intelligence. no empathy, real brutal and blunt, straight to the point. And I was like, wow, like your job, their degree is in communications, public relations. You would think that someone who gets paid to communicate and translate messages into an acceptable, I guess, output, should be able to have a good conversation with someone in a room. I was flabbergasted, like, just at the poor level of communication that just this,
like,
person had. Just
like a non-empathetic delivery. Not
like completely just non. I was like, wow, like, you literally from the get-go broke down all levels of, like, I guess, openness to discuss any sort of topic with a person. And I was like, oh, I was thrown off by it, right? And of course, in any situation when you have a conversation, you can always think about, well, how am I contributing to this conversation? But I remember I didn't really even say much to start. Like, when it was pretty much from the get, like straight out the gate, they were a bit like that. So I don't think everybody will put a facade all the time. And I think I'd say I agree that there is a need to have balance between being very authentic who you are and scaling back who you are if you are aware enough that your communication style is a little harsh.
Based on a communication level.
Because if your internal dialogue and your general communication style is quite harsh and you're aware of that, you need to tone it back in order to start a conversation with someone.
So I've got an interesting one kind of to combat what you've just said. So at the start of this year, towards the end of last year and kind of implemented at the start of this year, that I wanted to re-establish a whole, within my workplace, a whole new network of different physicians. Like, not that I didn't like the ones that I had, that I was using already, but I felt like the referral network, the communication, the overall kind of vibe of it had just kind of, I wouldn't say fizzled out, but it wasn't...
grown a bit stale.
That's probably the right word. It was probably maybe the last, say, 24 months prior to that, gone a little bit stale. Not that I was expecting much from it, but I think a lot of the referral network that I had prior were probably physicians and specialists that were probably, let's just say, on their way out, you know, kind of into retirement, and they were just kind of maybe... Not over it. So I realized, okay, cool. So I had this thing, but... there was a certain type of already established image between the practice and those types of physicians and their referral networks as well. So there's a kind of like an image that was already built between it. An image that I, like, because it was already built prior to me starting in the business. It was an image. It was an image that I wasn't necessarily 100% comfortable with. It was a very kind of like brash type facade, as I'd like to call it. So when I decided I wanted to change the referral network or just add to it, and I went to, you know, to different places, different hospitals, everywhere, I was more authentic to how I would be personally with these new physicians. And to me it worked out. The scale was like super lopsided. I went and had meetings with, it was probably about 7 or 8 different people. And I really connected with about 3 of them. And the other 4 fell really, really flat. And I was thinking, oh shit, what happened here? So I was like, whereas normally if I had taken that other approach, I'm pretty certain I would have gotten across the board type acceptance from them. So I was content with the 3 that I connected really well with.
Yeah.
But those 3 have like taken the business on a referral network basis to a completely different level.
In a good way.
In a very good way.
Yeah. So are you saying that you felt that maybe you didn't put enough of a facade up to get all 7 or 8?
Correct.
But you did yourself.
I just
more.
I did authentic myself.
Yeah, and you got 3.
Came along with also like I I wouldn't say I rebranded the business, but I focused the attention more around the brand being my name as opposed to the business name.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a slight tweak, and these three were more drawn to that as opposed to the others. Probably would have, if I had, you know, flicked the switch of the facade that, yep, I'm used to, that I've kind of was trained to beforehand, I think I would have been able to, I guess, you
get
know,
all of them.
Get all of them, so to speak.
But it's interesting that you raise that point. But I'm never one to say, well, what if the table had turned, or what if it was a different outcome? Because you can't rely off what ifs,
yeah,
right? Because what if you got all seven or eight?
Yeah, that's right.
However, you made a good point where you said, but the three that you got,
mm-hmm,
that network, that relationship,
yeah,
has really gone really, really well.
Yes.
There could have been a situation, and see if you would you agree that had you have got all seven, you might have had the three, but all seven might not have lasted or been as fruitful as your current three are now, even long term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
think that could be the case?
That's essentially where I'm getting at.
It sounds like a win.
It is a win.
Yeah.
But I think the facade could have also been a win too. Because we don't know. It's what if. It's all based on what if.
But would you have enjoyed it more?
No, definitely not. Because I realized, again, 2 years prior to making the decision at the start of this year, that I was like, I got to do something about this. I got to do it. But there was always so much more other stuff to do. Then when I made it a priority, I was like, okay, this is what I got to do. So I knew that the facade was the bit that was kind of holding it back as well. Mm. But the facade also just gathers it, kind of, it's like an instant win.
Mm.
But how big is the win? So whereas I feel like those three were a much bigger win than getting all seven.
Yeah.
So it's like it's a good double-edged sword, in a sense, what I'm trying to say. It's like sometimes the facade can work for you, but sometimes the facade, and this is essentially what I'm getting at, the facade is exhausting.
100% it would be.
The facade gets you to places. The facade gets you the relationship. The facade gets you the job. It gets you a lot of things.
You're constantly leveling up in order to maintain.
That's exactly right. You're constantly leveling up to a facade so that you can... And this is all levels. Work, home, relationships, whatever. Your neighbor, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Leveling up. You put it perfectly. Leveling up to a facade is like kind of like, you know, changing that face. You know, you kind of like you put that, you know, that kind of I'm mirroring that thing where you kind of, you know, put your hand over your face and you go, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Like that is the most exhausting part about
it. Yeah. And the biggest vulnerability with that and taking that approach is under times of real pressure,
mm-hmm,
and under times of real stress,
it gets exposed,
mm-hmm, and it's very hard to maintain, and the weaknesses really start to show through. And it can be very difficult to manage a situation where you get thrown in the deep end. All of a sudden, you've maintained, especially if you can maintain it well,
yeah,
and people actually believe that's who you are,
yeah.
And then when push comes to shove, and you really get thrown in the deep end, everyone turns to you and is like, okay, what do we got to do now? And you're just like,
fuck,
I don't really know. Like, yeah. Or you try and just all falls to pieces.
Falls to pieces.
And you're just like, why are you doing that for? Like, why are you making those decisions? And it's really clean. You're just like, wow. Like,
this ain't you.
This is not you. Like, what have you? And people can talk a good talk,
yeah,
but they can't walk a good walk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a real challenge. And I think the biggest upper hand of being your true self is, yes, you might not get everyone to like you, or you might not have everybody. You can't adjust because you can't have the same constant facade all the time. You have to kind of modulate it a little bit depending on who you're approaching.
Who you're with, but you have a certain level of the
facade.
Yeah, but
there's a certain kind of a template that you template, use that's all it. The time.
There's a template there.
But the thing is if you just go in and be your real self,
mm-hmm,
you'll get to a point where you might not like you,
yeah,
but at least when something challenging enough happens and you need to step up to the challenge, you're stepping up to the challenge, not the front that you've put up all the time.
Yeah. I 100% agree. And that's essentially where I'm getting at. But where I kind of, as I like to do in this podcast, is to kind of play a little bit of devil's advocate, in a sense that can sometimes the initial facade, and it's understanding when to start to break down the facade, but the initial facade, is it crucial? Like, I feel like in certain aspects, to protect yourself, in a sense,
yeah,
there has to be some... Not, I don't even like using the word front. There has to be a certain level of protection.
I'll put it like this. I know, because I know where you're getting at. I think it's completely acceptable and it's beneficial and it's probably required for most people, not putting up a facade, but to adapt their personality style, their communication style,
yeah,
which may look combined, may look like a facade,
yeah,
depending on who they're talking to,
yeah,
and what situation
it's
kind of, they're
it's
in.
It's like a feeling out process.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's not being fake.
Yeah.
That's deploying emotional intelligence, yeah, so that you can customize what you're giving, mm-hmm, to somebody else so that they can, one, feel comfortable.
Yeah.
So that they can feel that they can trust you.
Yeah.
So that they can open up. So that they can hear you out.
Yeah.
So that you can allow them to speak and give themselves to you, so you can be flexible to take on their differences as well.
Yeah.
Because if you go in like, if you're like real gung-ho and you just go straight into it and you don't give the other person a chance to kind of like talk or let out what they're kind of thinking, they'll might be at the top to just shut down. You'll never get anything out of them.
And so you're being true to yourself and you're not necessarily being aggressive.
No.
But you're just being as forward as you would possibly be.
Exactly.
But it might be too much for that person.
Yes. So sometimes I would say the combination of what your perceived personality is like, mm-hmm, and your communication style, kind of link them together in a bow, call it your facade.
Yeah.
You need to be able to flex up and down on that,
mm-hmm,
depending on each contact.
Yeah.
Build the trust.
Yeah.
And then slowly drip feed who you really are.
Yeah. It's that what you just said is an example that I gave to a PT that I was mentoring in the last 2 to 3 months. So he started working and we had this conversation, listener of the show.
Well, keeping hello, PT. Welcome. Welcome, fam.
Good PT, worked for someone, and this someone had developed this, your kind of like your commando-esque SAS style boot camp training system, yep, for your weekend warriors, okay? It was very much, come on, rah, you know, all that kind of stuff. Mm. And because he was an employee, essentially, he adapted this facade, which is not to him, but it's his job, okay? He worked there, good, all that. The original owner is like packed up, left. He doesn't want to do it anymore. Yeah. And this guy just inherited.
Wow.
Just like, you know, just inherited a business for free, essentially. Wow. Because he was there. He was at this crossroads where he's like, I'm just sick of yelling at people's faces. Like, I'm not a drill sergeant, but it's getting the people in. Like, he was like tormented with the fact that the facade was the breadwinner. But it was exhausting his true personality.
Yeah.
And I said to him, you got to slowly break down the facade. You can't just go, hey guys, I'm just going to use a random, this is Mickey here and we're going to play ABC PT. Everyone will be like, dude, I want you to scream at my face. Like, yeah, I want to do 50 push-ups. You're going to get mass exodus. Yeah. I said, you cannot do that.
No.
You got to adapt. You will find out that you're probably going to lose some people. That's what you're going to have to be comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to find that there's a good portion of people in the group that are going to be like, oh, cool. I don't actually really enjoy getting yelled at, but it's a good PT system. So I actually really enjoy this aspect now, you know?
And then in turn, he'll attract the clientele that better suits his...
Correct. His and that's essentially what happened.
Business style.
But for a long time, and he kept asking me the same, like, it's almost like he wanted me to tell him something different.
Mm.
And I kept telling him the same thing. I'm like, dude, you have to either do it slowly. You can't rip the Band-Aid off and just be, you know, Mr. Gentle PT. These people are paying for this kind of type of service, so to speak. If it's exhausting you, that's fair enough, because eventually you're not going to be able to do this forever because the facade's going to exhaust you.
Exactly.
You need to be able to slowly strip back and, you know, obviously change the branding of it and all the marketing and all that kind of stuff and your style.
Mm.
And eventually you'll get the type of people
that you
get. So it's like bringing back to what you just said before, it's like you have to almost instantaneously with any kind of relationship assess the individual or the individuals and slowly drip feed you.
Yeah.
Your true self, because that's the best way to do it.
Yeah. And that's precisely, I mean, I don't know about you, but that's precisely what I'm doing in this podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, there is no way in the world that everybody can expect to think that they're getting the exact me that you're going to get behind closed doors, because it's not.
No, definitely not.
But it's also not extremely different from it. You're just, people are just getting snippets of different pieces.
That's right.
So that you slowly start to accustom, we build the trust, because I trust, like, people have got to trust me for what I'm telling them and trust what I'm about to say. They might enjoy things that I say, they might not. They want to know that I'm speaking the truth about things, that I'm giving them an authentic part of myself,
yeah,
which I am. But at the same time, because I'm so vested in the podcast,
yeah,
our listeners, I don't just look at them as like, you know, this number on the screen.
No, definitely not.
Like, there's genuine people that listen to the show.
That's not cliche. That's real.
It's genuinely real.
Yeah.
And when we say we want to build this, like, fam, that's why we call it fam, like the JTW fam, because you guys are real people on the end of the microphone. I want to have an authentic relationship with the people on the end of this microphone that are listening to me speak right now.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, it's going to sound strange and people might be like, oh, but I've got to trust the listeners to know that that community is ready for me to give the full level of self that I want to give.
That's right.
But you don't just come on the episode from straight out the gate and be like, 0 to 100, switch on. Like, it's a slowly ease into
it's
it.
Not,
do you know what I mean?
It's not the smartest thing
to
do. No,
and that's with every situation you find yourself
I feel
in.
Like that in itself, using this podcast as an example, and just in relationships as an example, that's very Russian roulette.
Mm.
It's like you come at 0 to 100 and it could be absolutely amazing and you'll get an audience straight from the bat and I love how honest this guy is. He's so straight to the point, blah, 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 blah. Or it could, you could just put people straight off.
Yeah.
But because you're being true to yourself, like, every day is a different day.
Yeah.
Your personality is not going to be the same.
It's not exactly.
It's not going to have the same level of frequency every single day.
Yeah.
It's going to be within a certain range.
That's right.
But that range might be too much for a certain amount of people. And the way to kind of complement what you're saying, I'm pretty much doing exactly the same thing. Whereas I feel like when we see the analytics, it goes up a couple of listens, goes down a couple of listens, spikes up a couple of listens, drops a little bit, plummets a little bit. It's, you kind of just see things kind of go up, down, up, down, up, 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 down, down, up, up, up. It does these little things and you kind of go, the more they give us, because like most people kind of, they're pretty smart. They'll like a podcast, they'll share it with someone. You start to get more and more listens. When people share and your audience builds, it's because they want more of you.
Yeah.
The more of you give, the more listens you get, the more of you give.
Mm-hmm.
And then you eventually get to a point where you become your true self.
It's very much like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's,
like, it's kind of like give
well.
Some to get some.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's very much like that. 100%. I think you articulated that well. And to me, that's probably the materialization of mutual trust, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Is when I see people listening, engaging, sharing, talking, giving feedback, I'm like, I know you either like what you hear or you're curious about what you hear, or there's something that has captured you somehow, which indicates to me that maybe we should give you more.
Just a bit more of that.
And that's not because it's a take, give, take. It's not. It's more just, it's a two-way exchange.
Yeah.
And I think that's certainly how it is here, and it's certainly how it should be for a lot of situations that people find themselves in,
mm-hmm.
whether, you know, we often give all these different examples, but it doesn't matter, relationships, life, work, whatever. It's this process of, like, giving a little bit, drip feeding, and then seeing how it is and responding to it.
Yeah.
But so I think
it's the safest way to do anything.
I think it's the safest way to do anything.
Yeah.
But whatever you are, I think the important thing is, and the important factor that is the variable amongst all of this is, what you're drip feeding, what you're giving needs to be your authentic self.
Yeah.
It needs to be the true part of you, which requires vulnerability on your part.
Yeah.
In order to do that honestly and having trust that it's just going to go in the right way.
Yeah.
And you got to gauge in it. If you feel, however, that you're giving your true honest self, and it's getting rejected every single time,
mm-hmm.
maybe it's not you. But maybe it's the crowd you're around that kind of personality, that kind of style, just isn't accustomed to them. They don't enjoy that. That's not their flavor. They don't mm-hmm. want that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing. That shouldn't be a reflection on the person giving it out. It's just maybe that's not your tribe.
Yeah.
move somewhere else. Find some different friends. Yeah. Find a different workplace.
Migrate.
Find a different community.
Migrate.
That will connect with you more, yeah, that you'll resonate with. Because
yeah, some people force it as well. It's like, oh, why isn't people listening to me? And they keep staying in the same spot. I'm like, it's dead, man.
They
it's
don't
buried.
Like what they're seeing. It's the same as when you're sitting in front of the TV and you're channel surfing.
Yeah.
You go to one channel and you're like, oh, this is garbage. I don't like this show. So you switch.
Yeah.
Well, picture you as being the channel.
Yeah.
Someone's sitting there flicking through the channels and they're waiting to see what they get waiting to stop on the channel that they like. You might not just be that channel.
Yeah.
But there's another person that likes your channel.
100%.
If I could speak metaphorically.
No, that's good. And like, kind of like, I think we, I wouldn't like saying the word qualified, but we are, we have enough experience, I think, to, in a sense, give advice. And I'd like to get your advice on it. We've just kind of given an example on, you know, finding your tribe and all that kind of stuff. But let's just say you put the facade on. Yeah. This is more a how-to for those who have found themselves in a facade and what key signs and symptoms they're experiencing that would signify the facade. And how, because some people might be like, oh, what's a facade? And we, like, let's paint the picture of what a facade feels like long term.
Yeah.
And what are the key symptoms, key signs that you realize that you're in a facade that you want to get out of?
Okay.
And for me, the first and foremost one is an exhaustion. Now, some might be like, what do you mean by exhaustion? You know, it's like when you feel like you have to put that front because you're meeting with a group of friends or you're this supposed, guest head speaker of a community group, but you're not enjoying it because you're putting this facade on. Let's point out key symptoms, key signs. No, it's not symptoms, key signs of when you know you're in a facade that you want to get out of.
So I think the first one you said was true. Exhaustion. Exhausted. If you leave a meeting, mm-hmm, if you leave a date,
yeah,
if you leave a friendship catch up at a cafe or something, if you leave any situation that involves some form of communication,
yeah,
and you feel more exhausted after it, mm-hmm, than you did before you went in it,
yeah,
one of two things: either that person's a vampire,
chi vampire,
or a leech,
energy vampire,
and they're taking away your energy. You've got to be able to differentiate between that.
Yeah,
but if they're not, but you're feeling exhausted and you weren't feeling any friction from them, you weren't feeling drained from them, but you're feeling drained for yourself.
Yeah.
It's probably because you were putting up a front.
For them.
For them.
Because that's, you like this person, you were drawn to them.
Yes.
You created a facade to become their friend or a colleague, employee, whatever. But now you've realized they like that facade of you. They don't realize it's a facade.
Exactly.
But you now are exhausted from the facade you've created. Facade, not their fault.
No, it's you.
It's you.
If it's yours, then you know that you're putting on a facade. That's probably
because
the first
one. I think a lot of things is like you're exhausted. But once you start, the next sign is once you start lying to yourself, and you're going, "Oh, I'm gonna do this catch up with this friend. Oh, fuck, how do I get out of it? What excuse should I make? It might be them,
but
there's a very good chance that it's probably you.
Because
if you're trying to think of a this or a that, I should talk about this, like a pre-planning, this like non-authentic catch-up,
yeah,
then it's probably you.
Yeah.
So if you are exhausted and lying to yourself,
yep,
then it's probably a good chance that stop blaming the person that you're meeting up with. It's more than likely you.
Exactly. That's probably the first one.
Yeah.
And that applies to not just even catching up with friends, family, whatever it is. It could even be if you're going to work meetings, for example.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a large number of our listeners probably, let's say most of our listeners here would have some job in some shape or form and would probably have to communicate with people. If you are connecting with people and then after your meetings, you're feeling exhausted.
Like zapped.
Like just out of it. And there's a range of different people you're trying to communicate with, but you're feeling exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
It could be because you're putting up a different front.
Yeah.
One thing's interesting, though, is this goes into the depths of... if we want to get complex here and dive into a bit more, and knowing our listener base, I think they would appreciate this level of...
Complexity.
There are different personality traits and types that different people have.
Mm-hmm.
One of the simplest models around there is the DISC profile.
The, sorry, repeat
Disc
profile. Okay, I've heard of this, but you can...
Yeah, and then, so the disc profile is one of the simplest versions out there, and it's a good one. It's,
yeah.
It serves its purpose. It's quite powerful. It's a pretty good grouping of different individuals and what they're like. You know, I've certainly found it useful when I've used it in my teams before and just looking at different people and their personalities. There's other different types. You've got like the Myers-Briggs. You've got all these different versions, right?
Yeah.
The DISC profile essentially breaks people down into four main categories.
Okay.
You've got red, white, yellow, and green for the colors. And you've got people that are like your Ds, which are your dominant, your high D. So if they're a pure D, they'd be a high dominance, high ambition, high go-getter. They often value material things. Before I keep going, not one of these is better than the other or worse than the other. It is just what it is.
It's just the group you fall in.
You can't look at it as which one's better or which one's worse.
No, it's just what you
Once
fall
you
in.
Start to understand the personality profiles, you don't look at someone who's a dominant and go,
oh, he's an idiot.
Oh, he's an idiot or she's an idiot.
That's just
their personality type.
That's who you are.
Because when they also become appreciative of the different personality types, they'll look at someone on the complete opposite spectrum, which would be a green, which would be someone who's very sympathetic, who likes things quite slow, think about things. They want to ponder on different things that they've been told about so they can think about it. They're very socialist, so they like to go out and go for the cause and help people. Whereas a person on the red, which is a polar opposite, they're very much like impatient at first glance with a lot of those type of people. And a lot of people on the opposite side look at the Ds and like, you just tear us down. You're like, you're the complete opposite. You just want to work, work, work. You don't care about people. But it's actually not like that when you start to appreciate everyone's personality.
Yeah.
Then you've got the eyes, which would be, or the yellows, which would be your, often you're very talkative, extroverted. They love their energy from
robust,
out people. They love conversations.
Boisterous.
You'd be in the kitchen having lunch. They stop and they just want to keep talking and talking and talking. They're your huggers. Like those kind of people.
Yeah.
Then you've got your very highly analytical people. Your C's, right?
C's.
They're your C's. They're very
C's?
Numbers driven.
DISC. Because you said... Oh, you've already done... Sorry. You
S was like your greens. Your
yes,
very,
yes,
your,
yes. Sorry,
you
sorry.
Know,
yep.
Your, to put it nicely, like your tree huggers, right?
Your
D's are like your...
saving the whales.
Eh?
Saving the whales.
Saving the whales, you know, all that kind of stuff. Then you've got... D's are like the tough, straight down the line people.
Yeah.
I's are very like, oh, we hug. We like to talk a lot. Yeah. We're very happy-go-lucky. Everyone's my friend. And then you got your C's, which are like your analytical people. They're very much breakdown. They like things quantitative. It's like, well, according to my calculations, this situation
X,
is
XYZ.
They won't talk like that all the time, but at a purer sense, that's kind of where you're getting at, right?
Yeah.
If you find yourself in a situation where you're a leader or you work in a team, and you leave the situation feeling more exhausted than you went in.
And you're lying to
yourself.
There's
a very good chance you're leveling up on one of those other personality traits.
That you're not.
That you are naturally not.
Yeah.
So this also, if you look at personality as part of your true facade or putting up a facade and not to be your true personality or vice versa, whatever. That's really one of the ways that you can model that and look at where it comes from.
Yeah.
So... For example, when I do the DISC profile, I'm a high D, high C, right? And I've been in teams where my entire team are like S's. Like they're like the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
When you look at the DISC profile, you've got D and then right across from them is S. Like they're the complete polar opposites.
Yeah.
And at first glance, I've sat down, I've started talking and they're just like, I could see they just shut down. They were like... Straight away, there's like they're
like, ah, shit.
I'm like, okay,
I've got to change it up.
And I was very aware of it too. And I was like, okay, this is gonna be interesting.
Yeah,
it's gonna take a lot of work to keep the relationship strong, to maintain them, make sure I'm.
This is a part of a facade you're building though as well.
I had to put up.
It's not putting up a facade.
I had to put up a facade.
You're building a foundation for them.
Yeah, I had to put up a facade, which is what we're talking about now. But what I'd want to articulate is what does that mean behind the facade? I had to level up my personality or level down certain aspects of my up and down different aspects so that I could, one, relate, build relationships, trust, and then get results out of the people that are within my team.
Yeah.
The first thing they had to do was one, realize that.
That's what a true
manager
does.
Sorry?
That's what a true manager
does. Yeah, one thing you first had to do was realize.
You can't force your way onto people that aren't 100% driven that way.
You can't. It just shuts down. So one of the first things, I wouldn't say realize because I was where I had to do it. It was more one of the first things that I had to kind of deploy as far as that was communicate to them that I'm not there to serve me, but I'm there to serve them.
Yeah.
And that automatically shows someone who would be normally perceived as a high D when you communicate to someone and say, look, I'm not here for my benefit. I'm here to serve you. And that's what a manager should be doing in a leader. Yeah. You should be serving your team, not them serving you. Even though you can be a D, you've got to show them that that's what you're doing there. So it starts to break down that facade and create trust.
So they
trust.
Understand you're a D, but you're willing to show them your S's, your C's.
Your S's. And
which is kind of like trying. You're trying to say, I'm going to meet you in the middle here a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. And
it's not always my way.
It's not always your way. But for someone who's an S, that takes time.
Yeah.
Because once you do that, you can't go and go, oh, well, we've talked about it now. So now we're all friends and we're going to trust, because they want to take that information. They want to take that experience and they want to sit on it for a little
bit. That's right.
A few days, a few weeks, a few months.
Yeah.
Even years for some people.
And then all of a sudden they just turn a corner.
And then it's not even all of a sudden they turn a corner. It could be sometimes they really do, but then there's other times where over time they grow.
Mm-hmm.
You look back and you're like, wow, this team's transformed.
Yeah.
But you haven't transformed, you've grown together. See, what I end up finding is when you've done that enough, those S's are the most loyal people that you will find in your team.
Yeah. It's adaptation.
Yeah. Those S's in that team proved to be the most rewarding assets for many tasks that required trust, commitment, really following through and making the right decision for certain things.
Yeah.
Because I knew that they would take the information, they'd really think about it, really satiate with the information and make the correct decision because they've had time to really sit with it.
Yeah.
So it really benefits to go and flex up and flex down.
Yeah.
The problem is when if you keep doing that and you still feel drained at the end of it,
something has to change.
Something's not quite right, and maybe you're not flexing and adapting the right
way. You might
be
the right
person.
After
a while, that wasn't draining. It was enjoyable that I had a good team like that and became an enjoyable experience.
You might need to move a few pieces within the team. You might be the piece as well.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And you gave a very good example of. But the thing, you could have done this with the.
It could
have
been completely.
You could have done this
around.
With the S's. You could have done this with the I's.
It's being aware of
it's
what
being
kind
aware
of personalities
of
you've got in your team.
Taking this full circle, I think it is important to understand that you might have to build, even though you might have to build a facade, even though you've realized you've been put in this situation where I was like, oh geez, I'm so exhausted. It's like you either work with it. So that you can kind of meet somewhere in the middle, or you just pack up and move on. But that's understanding that the facade is important to a certain level, but you have to be true to yourself to a certain degree.
Yeah.
And then over time, because these things take time, you expose your true self, your authentic self.
Yeah.
Those people are still S's, C's. Oh, sorry, I keep forgetting. C's. They know you're a D. You've met in the middle somewhere, but you're still not varying from being a D. They are still not varying from being an S.
Yeah.
It's somewhere in the middle. But a facade was built initially to understand where we all stand.
Yeah.
But I think to bring that aspect of it, it was a good example with the, going full circle with the authentication of a facade.
I'd flip it on the other way around. You like to play devil's advocate. I'll play it as well.
Okay.
In a situation, and this is not asking a question, this is probably again for those who find themselves in this situation. Could there be a situation where a person's not putting up a facade enough?
Yeah.
And then they're finding that they're always got, that it's a challenge, something's not quite working for them all the time. And maybe, I mean, facade
would
can kind of...
Would a facade work for them?
Different people are going to look at facade and they're probably thinking, yelling through the mics now, it's not a facade, it's whatever they call it. Right?
Yeah.
We're just picking the term facade to explain for something. But for some people, it could be...
A mask, whatever.
It could be a mask. We've spoken about masks before. Yeah. It could be, putting on that outfit for that Superman syndrome thing.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that you that image that you portray at front and center of you
mm-hmm.
that really supports everything you do around that image, right?
Yeah.
Your avatar. You could even call it your avatar, right?
Yeah.
I would go so far as say, if someone's not finding that things aren't working well, could there be a situation where maybe they're not flexing themselves enough, not changing their avatar, their facade enough?
Enough. Yeah. I think
what would be a first sign of that?
Of not creating a facade enough?
Yeah.
I think people, it's Russian roulette. People will either gravitate you straight away or they'll just fall straight off the block.
Or they're falling straight off the block nearly every time you have in contact with them.
But you might find that you're not in the right environment. So you need to migrate and move on.
Yeah, but in extreme circumstances, if people are like that in all different situations, that could be an extreme telltale.
Yeah. I think creating an initial facade is important.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it in a biological sense. Like when someone has an injury, they tear a hamstring, your body's natural progression is to send scar tissue to the area mm-hmm. to bind the injury.
Yeah.
That is the facade. Over time, if you do not go in there as a physical therapist and break down the scar tissue, it impedes your range of motion.
Mm.
So essentially what I'm trying to say is you need to build the facade at the start to repair or to build the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Over time, the facade or the scar tissue in this sense is getting thicker by the minute because that's the body's natural composition to
mm-hmm.
healing.
Mm-hmm.
But too much scar tissue in an area you're limiting your range of motion. So if you keep your facade for too long, you are exhausting yourself.
Yeah.
And that need to go in there and break the scar tissue down to a certain level so that you're comfortable with your new range of motion from the healed torn muscle.
Yeah.
So that you can move on. But if you don't and you leave it,
you get to build up a scar tissue.
You're going to build up a lot of scar tissue. It's going to have a domino effect of impeding your range of motion, which is then going to affect other muscle groups.
Which comparing it to life would be synonymous to having breakdowns in relationships, breaking down, burning bridges, as they say.
Yes.
Destroying your network, getting bad reputations, all of that kind of things is your scar tissue.
Scar tissue. And if you don't break it down,
it gets to a point where it's very difficult, if not impossible, to start to repair.
It's baggage.
That's baggage too, for sure.
It's baggage. And you carry it around with you forever. Yeah. It's your classic, like, how many times do you hear it? Like bringing this down to the rawest thing, like you're 16 years old, 17 years old, you really like this girl, and you tell a little bit of a white lie just to kind of, hey, I do a bit of this on the side. Like, let's just say you, let's just say you're like, this girl's like really impressed with your suit and tie, and you say, oh, yeah, I work at Macquarie Bank. Oh, really? Yeah, Macquarie Bank. Oh, that's pretty good. But really, you're just like, you're the coffee boy. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But you tell
someone you're like a stockbroker.
Tell someone you're probably a stockbroker.
You work at the front desk and you file the paper.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? All the stockbrokers.
Eventually, you're going to have to say, you kind of have to go, yeah, look, I'm studying, I'm working my way up, I'm training. But if you kind of keep going with the whole, yeah, man, look, I made $1 million sale this week, got some people to do some stocks, da, 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 da. Eventually, that scar, that baggage, it comes
and bites you on the ass.
It's going to bite you on the ass.
Yeah,
that's your rawest, purest form of putting a facade.
100%.
Do you know what I mean? Eventually, you can't carry that with you forever. No,
I think that's probably one of the.
That's a classic. That's like your plane.
But that's one of the cinematic. What's the word I'm trying to think of? When someone like topples, rise and we've had an episode on rise and fall.
Yeah,
it's one of like if people go back and listen to our. That was a good episode.
Rise
and fall episode. Like, that's one of the ways that people can have the fall.
That's a massive fall.
Is they've lived their life on this facade. And it's like,
and they can't keep up with it.
They can't keep up
with it. Because it's not them.
And then all of a sudden, like, the thread pulls.
Yeah.
And it falls apart. Badly. Or the truth comes out. And then the facade topples, but so does their career.
Everything.
So does their relationships. Network, their relationships, their net worth, their everything. And then they end up becoming the story of, remember them. Like, remember that time.
Remember that dude.
Remember that dude. Remember that girl. Like, remember that song, that hit, that movie, that show, that that person, that whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's like, remember them.
Yeah.
And it's sad that that happens, but I think that goes to speak to the many people that might be finding themselves constantly on the, because there's a good side and a bad side. You can put up a good front as it's needed.
Yeah.
Or become a good avatar, switch on a good, level up on a good personality, whatever you want to call it, which will be a good thing, or you can do it in a bad way.
Mm.
And if you keep carrying that and telling that same story, eventually the thread's going to pull.
Yeah. And when it does.
And we know that what happens when you buy a new shirt, it's a brand new shirt, and you've got a piece of cotton hanging off because they haven't done enough quality control.
Yeah.
They call it an overlocking stitch, by the way.
Okay, nice.
My wife did fashion design. She did that, yes. So they've got that little thread that is at the bottom where they double over your stitch at the thing. You get a new shirt and you kind of pull it because it's this dangling thread, but it kind of pulls both sides of the thread.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the hem starts to come undone.
Oh, dear.
And then you go and wearing it out one day and it's like folded over and you're like, oh my God, this looks like shit.
Yeah.
It's like that can happen to people's lives.
That's probably the mildest that is like example the, of like...
It's the...
If you're into your fashion, that'd be like, you know, that'd be your world would be crashing down.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing.
Or, let's give you a way more dramatic example. You could be... Remember when... I'll wait for you to drink. Remember when Britney was lip syncing and nobody knew? And then her lip syncing audio switched off.
Yeah.
And then it was her real voice singing.
Was that a live concert?
That was like like NFL, a Super Bowl or something. Like it was something like, you're like, oh shit, she doesn't sound anything like.
Yeah, it's hard.
Now, I'm not saying that Britney is not a good singer, but maybe not live. Not live.
Yeah.
Maybe a few takes in the studio.
You know, it's quite interesting.
But do you know what I mean? Like,
I know what you mean.
It's like she got to a point where it's like, oh, that is the crashing down of the facade.
It's interesting because we're in a time where it's putting out videos and content. For example, for singers, I can't sing for shit, so I'm not trying to claim anything right now. It's just the observation most here.
Amazing
singer. For those who can sing, total respect. For those who are trying to sing, total respect.
There should be like an MTV award for like best singer in the shower. Fucking take that shit.
You can have it. I wouldn't even make that cut. But there's, what was I going to say? There's
it's like a music video at the same time when I'm singing. Sorry, keep going.
I can't remember what I was going to say now.
Sorry, I threw you off. My bad.
I lost it.
I'm sorry, man.
You fucked it up. You done gone fucked up, man. You done gone fucked up.
What were you saying? Let's backtrack. Live, come on. What were you saying? You were saying something along the lines of, you can't sing for shit in the shower.
I can't sing for shit.
Yeah.
Right. But I think, that's what I was going to say. Okay, we're in a time where it's so easy to manufacture.
Yeah.
It's so easy to manufacture
talent,
people and facades,
yeah,
fronts, personalities, and careers.
The manufacturing is extremely easy.
It's so easy. So I think it can be, I'm curious to see where it can go because there is so much of it.
Yeah.
It might be insignificant if it ever goes wrong because there's just so much of it. Or if it goes bad because we're in such a fast-paced time.
It's probably going to be acceptable. If it
goes bad, everyone goes and points a finger and it shouldn't be, but as they say, you know, the whole stereotypical point and laugh kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then the next day, everyone forgets and moves on.
Yeah.
Which is a benefit because people sometimes hold on to experiences too much and it becomes detrimental to them. And if there's an opportunity where people don't have to feel like they're stuck to a situation for a long time, it won't be a burden on them enough for too long. But my point would be is someone can pick up a video right now. They can sing. They can adjust the voice. They can add the echo. They can change the pitch. They can change the thing. They can modulate the voice. And you can almost take someone who can't sing and make them sound like they can sing.
Yeah.
Stick a label on it, release a track,
all of a sudden
they're a star.
Yeah.
But they're not.
Yeah.
And then it's not until they get put in a situation where, oh, we want you to sing for a commercial. We want you to come on. It's live like, on oh, stage, we want you to do an interview. Oh, and then someone's like singing on a podcast and being like, so give us a chorus. And it's like,
oh, fuck.
Oh, but I didn't warm up. Or
but you'll singing, but like, the thing is, you'll find the fact that those people are aware enough not to put themselves in those situations.
That's the thing though. But then you don't get to milk as much of the grandeur out of life. But
this is bringing you back.
You're not really being your authentic self. You don't get everything out of the situation. Exactly. If it's not the real you.
So like completely rounding it up. you can manufacture as much as you can. You can facade it. You can avatar it, whatever you want
to
call it.
This speaks to your point of getting three people versus a seven.
Yeah, it's like...
You're going to get the maximum benefit.
If you strip it right down to the core, it's just, let's just say a friend, okay? You can either have this 200,000 followers or a million followers on Instagram or the friend.
Yeah.
If you find yourself exhausted, lying, or you've realized within your example of the disc
profile,
if you find yourself in one of those three, then you're not being as authentic as you can possibly be. Mm. Therefore, something has to change.
Yeah, that's right.
So again, like, I think at the end of the day, I think it's easier to be authentic, but understanding that a facade is also important to protect.
Yeah, yourself. And not everyone's going to like it. Everyone's going to enjoy what you're putting out. Sometimes you have to flex, but the ultimate goal long-term should be to be yourself and be authentic. But I think it's okay to drip feed some of that,
mm-hmm.
flex it a little bit so that you can build trust. Not fake.
Yeah.
No, it's different to being fake.
Yeah.
It's just letting out bits and pieces of it till you build trust.
Yeah.
The most interesting thing is when you go into a situation and you lay that out quite upfront from the start.
Yeah.
Some people can take it where you're like, look, I'm feeling pretty uncomfortable. This is not really what I'm used to.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try and work my way into this.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that's okay with you.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I really appreciate that trust.
Yeah.
Other people might take it and go, I don't know if I trust this person. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Different people take it different ways.
That's right.
But if you openly portray that what your intent goes back to intent, what your intent is from the start,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be okay.
Yeah, and at the end of it, you just got to have the right intent, though. Be aware that if you are creating this really, you know, like almost extraterrestrial type facade, just so you can gain a benefit from whatever it is, be aware that if it is way out there, you're going to come crashing down.
Exactly. If you keep the ultimate goal should be to be your true self, but that facade might be a tool in order to navigate you there or make it a little bit easier.
Yeah.
The end, like always, and we've said this in many episodes before, it's going to be the slogan of our t-shirt, is you do you.
You, yeah. Yeah, and just be as real as you can, you know, like, you see it all the time. I think I see it in some friends and colleagues, some people that I meet, like, that I might see, you know, two or three times a year, and, like, you see it, and you see the exhaustion as well.
Mm.
And it's like, you almost feel like going up to him doing the whole shoulder shake. Like, man, it's like, just you come do down you. To earth. Just like snap out of whatever it is that you're trying to do. It's not healthy for you long term. It's okay. You may not, some people might hold on to the fact that they need to be surrounded by so many people or have so much materialism because it makes them feel safe.
Mm.
But the thought of losing that scares the living daylights out of them. That's why the facade exists.
Mm.
So, and this is obviously a topic for a completely another day, like the whole understanding the psychological aspect of it, you know, the behavioral sciences of why people do it. Some people, maybe for another topic for another day, is understanding some people just have an amazing switch on, switch off mode.
Yeah.
Like, some people don't find it exhausting being a different person. It's almost like a split personality.
You actually get better at it over time too.
You get like, you fine tune the home life guy or the work life guy or the whatever it is, the TV personality, whatever it might be. Some people don't even understand the exhaustion. They are living two different like behavioral lives.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. No. But that takes a special individual to do that. This is like the average person, essentially, is what we're talking about. But yeah, just let go of all that, and you know, ultimately, yeah, it's, you don't want to be exhausted of your own self.
Yeah.
Because you only have one you. And being exhausted of yourself is just a terrible way to live.
Yeah, exactly. Well said, man.
Cool.
Hey, good wrap up.
You want to wrap that one up?
I think you did, man. I don't need to wrap it up any more than that. I think you summed it up well. One thing that comes to mind, though, and this is off topic, but it kind of is on the thing of facades. I watch a lot of bushcraft and camping videos on YouTube.
You're still going.
Hold on. Let me finish. And there's this one guy watch. He doesn't put up a facade.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite bushcraft camping outdoor-y video makers, right?
Yeah.
He's so genuine. I just got kind of compelled to kind of give him a shout out now.
Yeah.
But it's because it stands out to me because I've been watching his videos, especially his last few, and it's like he's really emotional when he talks about the situation he's in. He really appreciates being in nature.
The environment.
The environment. Like it's like it's giving him life on camera.
Yeah.
And you can see he's almost getting like teary in his eyes as he's talking about like the nature that's around him and like the beauty of the gorges and the bush and the water and the animals and just him living everything. In the moment.
Yeah.
He's got no facade.
Yeah.
He's just raw on camera. And I was like, this guy's living the dream. Like it stands out. He's living his dream.
Yeah.
And
he's not exhausted.
He's not exhausted.
He's probably being empowered.
He's re-energized being in the situation. Yeah,
he's probably being empowered every single day.
Yeah. And I was like, I was just impressed. I was like impressed and kind of like envious of his ability to go out and explore nature like that.
Yeah.
It just came to mind as you were saying. That's why I kind of wanted to bring it up because I know I've talked about bushcraft.
Well, if you find, is it like an Instagram or YouTube?
He's a YouTube.
Maybe if you find it, we'll probably drop it in the show notes.
He's got his channel. It's called Scotty's Gone Walkabouts.
Scotty's Gone Walkabouts.
He's a YouTuber. He's an Aussie guy.
We'll put it in the show notes. We'll give him a shout out.
He's got a couple hundred thousand subscribers.
He probably doesn't need us, but we'll shout him out anyways.
But he's got all these videos, and I find myself sitting down like either a Sunday morning, a Sunday afternoon, or a Saturday morning, or a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
And I've kind of like had a big grass cutting day, a big barbecue day, something like that. I kind of kick back, or I've just woken up. I kind of kick back with my coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And I press play.
Yeah.
And he instantly takes me to this place of like, Zen. Man, life's good.
Yeah.
That's like good. I just watch him just like.
That's good. That's the opposite of a cheap vampire. That's someone that's he just pouring energy into you.
Oh, man. Like, he's just a nice, he's a nice guy. Like, he's got a good channel, a good show.
Yeah.
So, Scotty, keep it up, man.
Yeah. Awesome, man. All right.
It's got nothing to do with our show.
No, it does to a certain sense.
Because he doesn't have a side. He's like a cool guy. So I just thought I'd just give him a shout out.
All right, guys. Like always,
Journey to Wherever for you.
JourneyToWherever.com if you want to reach out and chat to us and let us know how you liked this episode or not. And like always, refer to a friend.
Tell a friend.
And tell a friend. Like Ivan said before, what was all those other platforms that we're now on?
Almost. Deezer, Stitcher, Apple, Google.
A whole heap. All right. Awesome, guys. Hope you liked the episode. It's time to jet.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye. That was good, man.
It's good, man. It's a good chat, man.
It was just like a nice little... I feel like one of those like... What's that guy?
Karate instructors
at the front.
Sifus.
Like
a sifu.
What is that thing? When you press out all that air and shit? Like, what's it called?
You're releasing your chi.
That's it.
Your ki up.
Your ki up. I've seen you say that before. I feel like I've done a massive like air puncher.
Are you doing your
I've given everybody the fucking be yourself like punch.
Break through the boards. The board is a metaphor for your life.
Yeah.
And then after it, do your Tanjun breathing.
Tanjun breathing.
Right. I miss martial arts. That was a good episode. It's a good show.
Awesome.
All right, man. Laters.
Let's go.
Bye.
All right, bye.